There's always something to learn if you'll stop, be inquisitive like a child, and learn. And that really is the beauty of wisdom, is all of us can learn something from just the normal everyday parts of life. Hey there, welcome back. Glad you could join us. We're in this quest for wisdom. Wisdom, the scripture says, is the principal thing. And so it's not peripheral. It's not some side issue. It's not, something that you choose to attach to your car like an additional element. It's the essence of life itself is wisdom. And as we started with in this series, the nature of wisdom is it enables and equips us to reign in life. God is looking for people who will reign like Jesus reigned. He reigned in life. He reigned demonstrating the goodness and the love of God. That's our privilege. So today we're going to look at, we're trying to take a chapter a week now that we're in this flow. And so today we're going to look at a few things out of chapter 6. Unfortunately, time doesn't permit us to take verse by verse. I'm not sure that that would help us anyway. But we're going to take portions of chapter 6 and see what we can learn from them. So let's go ahead and get started here. I want you to take a look at an unusual verse to me. It's in verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." It goes on to describe a really corrective word for those who are lazy. But here's the thing that really strikes me about this story. First of all, we'll find out in chapter 8 that the worlds were made out of wisdom. So God actually designed everything through the lens of wisdom, which means every part of God's creation, functioning as he designed it, carries a message of wisdom. And so here he says, listen, if you find yourself lazy or slothful, you're not diligent in your activities, your priorities, your purpose. He said, go to the ant. I mean, how many of us have actually gone to the ant and sat in our backyard and just watched them? But this is actually the invitation of Solomon, the man of wisdom. He says, if you'll just pay attention to the world you're in, if you'll just slow down and consider all that God has made and how it functions with divine purpose, how it functions with a significant intention of God, it will illustrate the nature of wisdom. And so that's fascinating to me that, for example, you can take so many different parts of our life here in planet Earth. For example, the whole idea of sowing and reaping. Go to corn and see how corn grows. All right, well, here's the deal. You take a kernel of corn, and you would never plant that kernel of corn if all you would do is harvest one kernel of corn. That would be a ridiculous exchange. Instead, you plant a kernel of corn and you harvest an ear of corn that has sometimes between 600 and 800 kernels of corn. The point is there's actually wisdom talking to us. Day by day, we go through experiences in life and God is constantly talking to us, teaching us what his world looks like, teaching us the nature of wisdom, that wisdom plants with the intention of increase. No farmer in his right mind, for example, would pray for a crop to grow that he didn't plant. There's the prayer effort. There's the supernatural influence on natural activity. And I believe that the Lord has a real heart for us to discover the beauty of the natural world, married to the power, the wonder, the unlimited nature of the spiritual world. To combine those two, we really find out why we're on planet Earth. So here it is. He says, go to the ant. So that means we can take time. We can walk. I like to do this in my own, we have a little piece of property here. I like to walk around and just look at the animals that we have out here. And my wife has several beehives. And just to watch how they function, there's always something to learn if you'll stop, be inquisitive like a child, and learn. And that really is the beauty of wisdom, is all of us can learn something from just the normal everyday parts of life. Let me make one more comment, then I'll need to move on. But one other thing I would like to mention about wisdom. Sometimes we want the Lord to speak to us in such kind of loud or profound ways that it startles us. And, you know, I'm going to admit those are wonderful times when the Lord is that clear. But that's not necessarily a sign of our maturity if he has to shout. When he has to make something that obvious, it's not necessarily a sign of maturity, because the Lord loves to hide truth in the simple parts of life, the everyday part of life. And if we're listening, if we're paying attention to how things work in life, the Lord will always have something to say. And so I want to encourage you, as a child, be inquisitive, ask questions, ask him questions, and look at just the world around you, how things function. All right. He moves on throughout this chapter, and the next two chapters are very sobering for me. He ends this one with an absolute crazy warning about immorality and adultery. Before we get to that, he warns us about what a worthless person looks like. And we're not going to study this verse by verse, but in verse 12, he says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth, winks with his eyes, which means he's deceptive in his gaze. He shuffles his feet. He points his fingers. The pointing of the finger is accusation. When it talks about lifting holy hands before the Lord, it's hands that don't accuse. He points with his fingers, perversity in his heart, devises evil continually. Here's the part that really stood out to me. Frank, I have it underlined in my Bible. It says, he sows discord. He sows discord. Elsewhere in Scripture, it says, if you silence the whisperer, a fire will die out. And it's talking about the fire of controversy and hatred and resentment and all that junk. It's a flame that is fanned through the voice of a whisperer. And here we have this individual who the Bible calls a wicked man who sows discord. And it goes on as you move down. It says six things the Lord hates. The last one mentioned, he sows discord among brethren. I want to end with this one thought. I didn't get quite as far as I was hoping to in today's deal. But here's what I want to address. The Apostle Paul, I believe it was Paul, who addressed, he says, mark a factious person. Here, it's wisdom for you and me to not spend time with people that cause discord. There are dividers that have to be right all the time. I will be with them to serve them. I will not be with them to be influenced by them. So I want to encourage you, draw a line in your relationships, and because they'll always drag you down to their level of conflict. And we can't live with that kind of mess going on in our heart and our mind, where we're constantly accusing and suspicious of other people. So I bless you with that. I pray for tremendous wisdom as God helps us to learn how to avoid people of discord, but also be people who speak healing peace, the grace of God. So next week, we look at the scary warning about immorality. And so make sure you join us for that one. It applies to all of our lives in everyday life. So bless you.